All right, welcome back here to the Chase and Big Joe Show live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase McCabe off today, Dr. Crane filling in. This is really, thanks to Brady Shea, Nashville Predators for joining us. This is really a fun segment coming up next. We're joined by Ron Cook, who started the Quarterback Legends Club back in the 90s, and it's all the NFL legends and the quarterbacks got together, had a foundation, did great work around the country and over for many, many, many years. Ron joins us now. Ron Cook. Ron, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Thanks for doing this. I'm telling you, man. You are my childhood.
Yeah.
Right? Do you hear that all the time?
Once in a lifetime to even get to hang around two or three of these, let alone 32 of the biggest names that ever played the game.
So, now, tell us the genesis of how the Quarterback Legends Club started back in the 90s.
During the 80s, I did promotion work for two Dallas Cowboys, Danny White and Bill Bates. And what I mean promotion, I did their shoe contracts, I did their TV commercials, and I was just kind of a promotional rep for them. I had several clients that wanted close to those guys,
right.
Converse and Pony.
Yeah.
And in 1989, Danny White retired. I was doing all of his work. He retired and left the game completely. And about 6 months later, he called me and said, Cook, I'm playing in these celebrity golf tournaments, and I keep running into all these old guys, Hall of Fame guys. None of them are doing anything, and some of them don't have any money at all.
Wow.
He said, if I get them together, would you do the business part of a club for them, see if we can get the blessings of the NFL, and see if we can't get them some work, speaking engagements and that kind of thing. Mm. And I said, that would be a huge honor. When he started saying Johnny Unitas, Bart Starr, Roman Gabriel, all those names, those guys were heroes of mine. And so we put them all together. He got them all together. We met at Kiowa Island before it was a biggie and had those guys down there and told them what we wanted to do. Said, would you be the board of directors? And what we'll have to do is invite people. And they came up with the idea of you only could be invited to QB Legends if you had started in the NFL for 5 years.
Okay.
So there you have it. I mean, that's a pretty big class right there.
Right.
And we ended up with 32 names that, unfortunately, a lot of people today, some of the young kids have never heard of.
Right.
Right.
But our age, my 55-plus friends grew up with them. And it was the biggest thrill because they're the greatest guys ever. I used to put all of them in card shows. I mean, the big thing back then was to go to a card show and have a Pete Rose or those guys sign an autograph, a card. The football guys were friendly and would sit and talk to you forever. The baseball and basketball guys wouldn't even look at you while they were signing their contracts. So these guys were very, very popular in those card shows.
Well, I'm looking, like Bart Starr, Ken Stabler, Jim Plunkett, Danny White. I mean, Nick and I were at an event 2 years ago, and Terry Bradshaw was there. And 500 people, Ron, and you saw this, starstruck.
Yeah.
Why were these guys larger than life?
I've asked that question 10,000 times. I've had people ask me that. I think it's because even on the last play of your life, there's a chance you don't get the crap knocked out of you.
Right.
The other glamour sports, it's not the same.
Yeah.
I mean, they're glamour guys. Football players get the crap knocked out of them.
Right.
Several times during the game and afterwards. But they were all just so down to earth. I mean, they'd all sit down and have a beer with you or talk forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. You had a great relationship with who I think is just – I've been starstruck twice in my life, right? One time was a local celebrity here. The other time was Ken Stabler. Mm. I was starstruck, and I met him in the early night before social media. You were very close to Kenny Stabler. And people are like, oh, that's an urban legend. But from what I've gathered, all these stories are true.
They are.
Right? All these stories are true about Stabler.
They are. I got to be closer to Kenny than any of them. Excuse me. And I don't really know why. We really seem to hit it off. And, he was always known as the bad boy. But his bad boy meant he stayed up late and he drank late. He didn't beat people up. He didn't beat women up. He was just, you've heard the expression, I used to learn the playbook by the light of a jukebox. It was truly, Kenny.
Yes.
But we got to be very, very close in the last 20 years of his life. We were actually very best friends. I even preached his funeral.
Oh, wow.
It was just an amazing guy, really an amazing guy. And I loved him. I mean, I really loved him like a brother. He was different because the way he treated people. He treated everyone as though they were the CEO of the biggest company. You know, he didn't you know, scooch up to anybody. People would stop him in the airport, and I mean, he'd stop and talk as long as they wanted to talk. He was something else.
That's great.
Really a great guy. And all those stories are true.
Oh, I love it. Ron Cook is with us. He founded the Quarterback Legends Club. All these stories are great. I mean, you got a million stories, right? I mean, there's Bill Wade on here who's a Nashville legend, and you got up close and personal with all these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, Bill being a local, a Nashville guy, all the quarterbacks really wanted him in the club. And his health got really diminished in the last several years that we were together. But those guys always would come to see him at the nursing home. And he had several active years with us that was really, really an amazing guy.
Yeah, when it comes to all these amazing players on this illustrious list, Joe over here, anytime he hears the name Manning, he goes into this weird – Peyton Manning schvunk. I don't know how to describe it. But one of the key names in there, Archie Manning, what was he like as just a human being? Like you just mentioned with all these guys, they made you feel like you're larger than life. You're the biggest person in the room. What was he like in regards to all the other players?
The best of the best.
Yeah.
He literally was the best guy, and he was the best guy to be around. He would do anything you asked him to do. He had no ego whatsoever. And, I mean, to put it in perspective of ages, I mean, when he was in our club, Peyton and Eli were just in high school and junior high and high school, and he knew they were good athletes, but he had no idea they were going to be what they, they were. Archie was the best of the best always, an amazing guy, amazing guy.
So before getting into the NFL Legends Club, before, you know, getting involved with Danny White, how did you or why did you want to get into this type of industry?
I got I did a bunch of promotional work with Barbara Mandrell back when she was the biggest name in business.
She was country before country was cool, right?
Exactly right. She was George Jones, yeah. But she used to have a celebrity softball event in Nashville to raise money for Vanderbilt Children's Hospital. And so I was helping her put that on. I was one of her co-captains to put that event on. And she was good friends with Danny White, Walter Payton, Ray Guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so she would invite them to come in to her play the softball thing. Well, I got to know those guys from that because we had a whole weekend to be together. And Danny White stopped me after a couple of them and said, do you ever do any promotional work for athletes like you do for Barbara and Louise Mandrell? And I said, I love, getting sponsors to back them for events and golf tournaments, whatever.
Yeah.
And Danny said, would you take a look at working with me? And I did. And I got Bill Bates to be friends with Bill Bates, do the same thing with Bill as I did with Danny. But I really started with Danny and did all of Danny's promotional stuff until he retired. And then that's how it kind of bled over into all the other quarterbacks.
Did you ever think it would get to this?
Oh, no, never.
Yeah.
And even when I went to the NFL and sat down with them and said, I want to put all these guys together and I need to get your blessing so that I can book them, but I want to be able to use the NFL logos, marks, the team logos, team marks. And at first they were like, I don't think so.
Shocker.
Yeah. But then when they saw we were really serious and that we really – what I tried to do was put them together in groups. So when a sponsor would call and wanted to know, can I get a quarterback, Terry Bradshaw was the most expensive of any of them we had. Bart Starr was the second most expensive to come do an outing or make a speech or whatever. But then I would say, but you know what? I can get you two or three other names, not quite as big, but they got great stories and they're Hall of Fame type guy. And so – the NFL liked that I was trying to promote them in groups of two or three or four.
Yeah.
And it worked for 20 years.
Yeah. When we did the Terry Bradshaw thing, by the way, Ron Cook is with us, started the Quarterback Legends NFL, all these great quarterbacks, man. It's all my – it's like my childhood I'm looking at right here. Did you ever get it – when Nick and I did the thing with Terry Bradshaw, I took a moment, Ron, to look at people – Terry was signing autographs of standing in line and how excited they were, right? Because it's Bradshaw. Did you ever take a moment to look at the crowd when a Y.A. Tittle speaking or a Bart Starr and just see their faces?
Unbelievable. I mean, these guys were really, really idols to a lot of kids and the kids' fathers. I mean, the fathers would bring them to the card show for the kid to get an autograph, but the father was the one sitting there with his mouth hanging open.
Right.
Wanting to meet the guy. But let me tell you about Bradshaw. You've mentioned him a couple of times. Bradshaw was the best public speaker out of all those guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
even Bart and Joe Theismann, those guys were pros. But Bradshaw would memorize the star players. If a company hired him to speak at their convention, Bradshaw knew the name of every one of the C people there, the big people.
Yeah.
But he knew the salespeople and what their records were and what they did. So I went to one at Opryland where he came out and spoke to a group. And about 2 minutes into the thing, he went, where's Joe? Joe, and the guy stood up. He went, congratulations on your year. It was unbelievable. You broke every record. And, well, where's Manny? I mean, congratulations. And this is an operating where a big crowd was.
Yeah.
He spoke the whole time. Everything was personal. Took questions. When he was through, he was wringing wet with sweat. Wow. He had worked so hard. But he was a great, great public speaker.
I did an
everybody
event.
Everybody loved him.
I did an event. I think I asked three questions. He spoke for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, he just took – but that's the thing with all that. All right, we'll take a break. Ron Cook is with us. He founded the Quarterback Legends Club. I mean, I got 1,000 questions before we come back. Because here's the thing, Ron. When I'm looking at this list of these legendary quarterbacks that you all worked with, I see my grandpa.
Yeah.
Because I watched – in the 70s, we watched football together. I see my grandpa in this. I'm filled with nostalgia right now, which is amazing. So more with Ron Cook on this. This is a really cool segment with us right here. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Right here, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase off today. Dr. Crane's in. Fun segment here. Talk with Ron Cook. He was the founder of the Quarterback Legends Club, the NFL. Worked with all the iconic quarterbacks. All right. You took all these guys on HSN, right, mm-hmm. and they had the trading cards and everything. Putting football players on camera is either the best thing or the most hilarious thing, and I'm sure you got 1,000 stories, Ron.
Let me tell you how that got started. We had quite a run with HSN and QVC. Word got around that there was one company representing all these quarterbacks, so we started getting a little attention. I got a call from QVC, and the guy said, we'd like to have Johnny Unitas come on air and sign the Duke footballs, the game footballs, and Baltimore Colt helmets. Would you put that together? And I went, I really can't imagine Johnny Unitas signing and selling his autograph on TV. And the guy went, wait. We'll fly you up here if you'll come see how we operate and then make your decision. I said, well, we'll do that. So I flew up to QVC. The president of the company took me into the room where all the stuff was happening, people calling in. And he said, just watch this monitor over here. So they were selling a porcelain-faced doll.
Okay.
And Marie Osmond was on the air.
Okay.
And the doll was selling for $349. And the guy showed it to me and said, see this number over here? I said, yeah. He went, that's the people that are online and have already ordered it. And I went, oh, that's pretty amazing. He said, see this number here? That's the people that are waiting to get online and buy the doll. And it was several thousand.
Wow.
I went out in the hall, called Johnny Knight, and said, get your butt to QVC and bring us box of Sharpies.
Oh, yes.
Holy
cow. He was on air. We sold a tractor trailer load of Duke footballs and a tractor trailer load of Baltimore Colt helmets that he signed. The very next week, HSN called and said, whatever you did on QVC will double everything if you'll come down here.
Oh, my God.
So then I started thinking, oh, wait, instead of having just the individuals, let's do something fun. The first thing we did on HSN was a salute to Super Bowl I. We had Lenny Dawson from Kansas City Chiefs and Bart Starr from the Green Bay Packers.
Come on.
And we had like a Rydell helmet. On one side was the Chiefs logo, and the other side was the Packers, and those guys signed it. Sold thousands and thousands of those footballs, of those helmets.
Yeah.
And same with footballs. And I gave you guys a set of cards that we did a QB Legends set of cards, all 32 guys, that are collector cards. We sold 50,000 sets in less than an hour.
Wow. Good.
It was just crazy. So the popularity back then, people, the nostalgia, and just like you said, I mean, people autogram or some of those older names, but they were all part of this collection that were really QB legends. They were the legends of quarterback. But we had great, great shows.
Oh, I'm
great
sure.
Great shows. Yeah. All of them were – we did a salute to Raiders. Never been done before, LaMonica, Plunkett, Stabler, and Blanda with a real Raiders helmet with all four of them signed.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, but you wouldn't believe it.
You had to sell tens of thousands of those.
We did. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Did you have any idea? I mean, you knew how special these guys were, but did this bring it home how really special these guys were?
But in all fairness, back then, collectibles were a bigger deal than they are today. Back then, you know, collecting cards and footballs,
yeah,
anything with an autograph on it was a very big deal. So it was something very special.
Is there one item that you love more than anything else? I know that's a tough question, but
it's my Raider item. All four of those on a Raider helmet and a Raider football was. I still got mine at home.
Yeah,
I still got it.
I mean, unfortunately, three of those guys. I think, is LaMonica still alive?
No, he's dead.
So three of the four have passed away. Yeah. So it's just the iconic of having those signatures.
Yeah, just Plunkett's the only one that's still alive.
And you mentioned earlier, because I said an ignorant question. I'm like, how's the Quarterback Legends Club going? And life catches up with us, right? You said, unfortunately, most of these guys have passed away.
Most have passed away, and the ones that haven't passed away are in some, they're in their 80s and some of them in their 90s.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot of those old injuries are really bad now. So just got where they couldn't do the events, they couldn't come to the things, whatever.
Yeah, when you talk about the card shows back in the day, now looking at the current, I guess you'd say, card market right now, would you say this is probably the baseline of the reason why a lot of these markets are just skyrocketing through the roof for price-wise?
No question. No, and because of our shows with the autographs, people started questioning, is that a real autograph?
Right.
Then some of these authenticators started popping up saying, we'll guarantee you, we'll do a test on it, put it in plastic, and guarantee that it's the real thing.
Wow.
And that came from some of the shows that we did.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
As a kid growing up collecting baseball cards, hearing all about this, it just fascinates me how the evolution of card shows have just evolved into today.
No doubt.
Ron, what are you doing now?
I retired 2 years ago. I've retired from a company called Fishbait Marketing. We did all the we sold sponsorships to all 47 of the college bowl games.
Wow.
So it was a great company, still in existence. But I retired after a long time in the sports business.
I know you seem very gracious and grateful you had this experience.
Oh, once in a lifetime, literally. Just to know those guys. And just out of nowhere, I'll get a phone call from two or three of these guys, you know, Archie or just several. There's a couple that are still living.
Right,
right.
That just want to talk about good old memories from the old days.
How did you – you talked at Ken Stabler's funeral. I mean, how – nervous? Speak from the heart. I mean, how do you prepare for something like that?
It was so honored. I wasn't even nervous. It was just so honored. Kenny died. I think it was on a Thursday. His daughter called me and said, told me that he had passed. And she said, "Don't say anything to anybody." He left us a letter that said, "I don't want the press to know that I'm dead until I've been buried."
Okay.
And that sounded like Kenny.
Right.
She called about 2 hours later and said, we're only doing a family graveside service. Will you come down and talk to us?
Wow.
And I said, I would be thrilled. So my wife and I drove to Foley, and there wasn't but about maybe 10 people, his sister and their group, and they asked me if I would say something. And, you know, it was I mean, I can't tell you how awestruck I was that I was standing there by Kenny's coffin and getting to tell his family what I knew about him, because, you know, Kenny had a reputation of being wild and drinking too much and all that. But Kenny was a God-fearing guy. He was amazed at the bigness of God. He didn't like church, but he loved God. He used to sit out on his porch on Orange Beach and with a coffee cup and talking to God every morning.
Wow.
And we just had this very good relationship. I ended up writing a book because of a question that Kenny asked me. We were flying from Nashville to Oakland and sitting up in first class, and Kenny just being Kenny, and he just leaned over and said, "Hey, Cookie, what do you think about the big guy?" And I said, "What now?" And he said, "What do you think about the big guy?" And I said, "You talking about Madden? You talking about the real big guy?" He said, "No, you know the big guy." And he wanted to know what I thought about God, and I asked him why, and he said, "Well, you talk about him sometimes like you know him." And I said, "I feel like I do, because I talk to him a lot."
Right.
And he was fascinated by that, but he, to the day he died. So I told his family that story, and he had written the foreword in the book I wrote, and the foreword was about how much he loved his wife, I mean his daughters,
yeah,
and his sister, and I got to read that to them and tell them about how much they meant to him. It was really an unbelievable experience.
Last question, and thank you for doing this. You're yes, gracious you. With your time. How were your feelings when you found out he got into the Hall of Fame? Was it the year after he passed away?
Yeah. Coach Madden was behind that totally and pushed it hard. And I got to go to his induction ceremony, which I wouldn't take anything for.
Right.
But it was amazing. And yeah, he should have been in there long ago.
I agree. Ron Cook, thank you. Down the road, let's talk again. This is great.
Because
I'm telling you, I see my grandpa here. This is wonderful, and it's a great feeling. Ron, thank you so much.
I love talking about these guys. I'll come back anytime.
Oh, you're the best. Ron Cook, Quarterback Legends Club, started back in the 80s, and it ran for a long time. Ron, thank you for that.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. We have another special guest.
Tell me about it, Joe.
Right. One Chris Kirkpatrick from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is going to join us now and talk some football coming up. You might know his name.
I'm shaking.
You might know he had a little one-hit wonder back in the day. We'll talk to him about that coming up. All right, this is the Chase and Big Show. Ron, thank you, my man. We got more. There's a good crowd. Come down and see us here at Barlon's Omni National Hotel, right on 102.5 The Game.